happy Mother's Day, Mark. Can I say that to you?
I don't think so. It's probably more appropriate to say that to moms.
All right. Well, happy Mother's Day, moms. And peace, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, today is Mom's Day. I mean, it's like this and like this and like this and this and this and this. All of these images we have of moms out there. Yeah. So happy Mother's Day to
happy
your mom.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
To Jana.
Yes.
To Sarah.
Yes.
Everybody. Mark, do you know the rules for preaching on Mother's Day?
I have no idea. What are they?
All right. Keep it simple. Use one verse and stay positive.
And stay positive.
Yep.
Okay. I think we can do that.
But we're not going to do any of that today.
We're not going to do any of that?
No. We're going to get complicated. We're going to use a lot of verses and we're going to be really negative.
Really negative on Mother's Day?
Yeah. At least
we're
going to...
That sounds like a great idea, Tom.
We're going to start out negative.
Okay.
All right. Hopefully get positive from there. Mark, do you know the phrase, bless your heart? But before you answer that, write your definition of bless your heart in the comment section. Do you know that phrase?
Kind of. You know, I'm a northerner, so I'm not super familiar with it. But from what I get, it's sort of a southern phrase. And it's not exactly a compliment to say bless your heart. I mean, it's kind of an insult, maybe.
Yeah, I lived in the South for 4 years through seminary and learned that it's kind of a nice way of saying, well, you're an idiot.
Oh, okay.
Among other things.
Among other things.
Among
okay.
other things. It's kind of like this.
Bless his heart.
Once we get married, he won't be watching as much football.
Bless her heart.
Oh, hey, guys. Where y'all? Next one. Next time.
Bless his heart.
We have a version of this in our family. It's, you're cute, which is...
You're cute.
You're okay. cute, yeah. You know, like, Sarah will see me do something that's really stupid or perhaps life-threatening and say, you're cute, which doesn't have anything to do with, like, whether I'm having a good hair day
yeah.
or if I'm cutely dressed or whatever. What it really means is, that's really stupid, but I love you, and it's kind of an eccentric part of your personality, and if you died, I'll probably miss that about you.
Okay, that's a good positive way to frame it.
Yeah. Speaking of death, we're here at Birchfield Park. And
yes, we are.
Do you know last spring I was here biking with Micah, my oldest son.
Okay.
And it was, you remember all that flooding that happened last spring?
Oh yeah, the water was really high here.
Yeah, it was really high here. Yeah. The current was really strong. Like it was like March or April, right as the COVID was kicking off. And Micah and I were biking and we were on this trail right by the Grand River. And I'm maybe 10 yards in front of him and I hear him yell and I look back and he's fallen in the river. And so I jump off my bike and I run back and he's taking swim lessons. He can kind of swim, but you know, what do you do if you're a dad and your kid's in the river? You jump in
after
right?
him.
Yeah,
right?
So I jump in, I pull him out. And when we get out, he says, my shoe. And he had kicked his shoe off and his shoe is floating down the river. So what do you do if you're a dad?
Went in after a shoe?
You jump in and you go and swim after a shoe.
Okay.
And I get his shoe and as I'm swimming back, it hits me. This water is really cold.
Yes.
And so I climb out and Micah says, Dad, my bike is gone.
And so his bike is still in
his
the river?
Bike, yeah, his bike is at the bottom of the river.
Oh my goodness.
But it's all muddy. I can't see it. So what do you do if you're a dad?
Figure out a way to get it out.
Well, at first I got in the river, and then I was like, oh, wait, this is too cold. I can't, like, swim down to find this thing in the muddy water. So I create this, like, grappling hook out of stuff that was in my bag on my bike, and I go fishing.
You went MacGyver.
Like, yeah, I did MacGyver, and I actually was able to find the bike and pull it up. And after we had done all this, Micah said, it's a good thing Mom wasn't here. Bless
yes,
his
is.
Heart. Bless his heart. Bless my heart.
Yes, bless your heart. That's quite a story.
Have you ever had a bless your heart moment?
Nothing that dramatic. Okay. That's quite a story. But I frequently have bless your heart moments when it comes to listening to Jana. I have this great habit. Well, I say great in quotes, yeah. but a great habit.
Great. Bless your heart. Great.
A bless my heart habit where Jana will talk to me and I'm listening to her, but I'm not hearing mm-hmm. anything she's saying.
Yeah.
And usually it involves my phone, right? So I've got my phone out, Jana's telling me something, I'm nodding like I'm listening, I have no clue what she's saying.
Going through the motions.
Yes. This just happened recently. We're getting ready to remodel our kitchen. We're going to be ordering kitchen cabinets, and Jana had given me a whole bunch of details about the cabinets, and I nodded and I listened. Sure enough, 2-3 days later, I asked her a question about the conversation that we'd had that I had no memory of at all. And you know, she didn't say it, but Jana definitely could have said it that moment.
Bless your heart.
Yes.
So turn to somebody that you're near and say, or to the screen, say, bless your heart. We're curious, by the way, have you ever had a bless your heart moment? Let's type that in the comments and let's talk about that.
Well, Tom, today we're going to talk about someone who was, well,
bless his heart.
He was a bit of an idiot. His name was John. And he was born in 1725 in England, and we had kind of a rough life. His mom died when he was age 7. He was born to a mom who was a Puritan, but she died at age 7. And then he was really raised by his dad, who put him out to sea at age 11, and he was on a ship starting
Happy
at age
Father's
11.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
So John was a mess. Like, he was gang-pressed eventually, which means basically forced into the British Navy. He worked on several enslavement ships. He was hated by his shipmates. He was himself, get this, he was himself one time enslaved to an African princess.
That's a crazy part of his story.
And this is when his shipmates ended up leaving him in Africa because they didn't like him so much. He was wild, raging drunk. He was violent. His nickname was the Great Blasphemer.
The Great Blasphemer.
What a name.
That is quite a name, especially when we see where his story ends up. So you may have heard the phrase, cuss like a sailor.
Yep.
Well, John was a very colorful individual. And John's captain, not only did John use the worst language that this captain had ever heard, the captain reportedly said about John, he created new words that exceeded the limits of verbal debauchery.
Whoa.
That's quite a description.
That's something for a sailor to say.
He had excessively bad language. John was so hated on his ship that once he got drunk and he fell overboard, and you might think his fellow sailors, right, his shipmates would throw a life preserver out to him.
Life preserver, yeah.
No, they threw harpoons at him. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. So after being saved from enslavement in Africa, he was on a ship back to England, and he was reading Thomas A. Kempis's Imitation of Christ. Have you ever read that?
I have not read it.
It's kick your butt kind of
book. It's a serious book, huh?
Yeah, it's a good book. Every Christian should read it, but it's heavy.
Okay.
It's heavy. And while he's reading this on his way back, a storm blows up, like a crazy white squall, kind of like this. And a shipmate of his who was on deck when he was supposed to be on deck, like he was late getting up, yeah, that shipmate got washed off the ship.
Whoa.
So yeah, at that moment, he prayed out to a God that he didn't even think existed. And he cried out, Lord, have mercy on us all. And in that moment, the cargo in the ship shifted and covered a hole in the ship, and it kept it from sinking. And it drifted into safety eventually.
Wow, that's quite a story. So as a result, this guy, John, bless his heart, he started reading the Bible. And slowly but surely, as he read the Bible, he began to change. His life began to change. And eventually, John gave up enslaving people.
Which he had done before.
Bless his heart. That's a good thing. And he was influenced by the Methodist movement, which is, you know, the precursor to Sycamore Creek. And the Methodist movement has two big things, social holiness and personal holiness. And John was influenced by that to the point where he continued to change. And eventually this guy who's nicknamed the Great Blasphemer, he became an Anglican priest. And as an Anglican priest, he joined up with William Wilberforce and he fought to abolish the slave trade in England.
This is an amazing transformation story.
This is an amazing transformation story.
So in 1772, at Christmas, John, and his last name is Newton. Wait, no, that's Olivia Newton-John. Let's not get the two
not
confused.
Not that, okay.
This John Newton.
John Newton.
John Newton. He wrote the lyrics to Amazing Grace, the probably the most loved hymn now of all time.
It's an incredible hymn. I mean, like, I think maybe the hymn for Christians, like the one that most people know associated with Christianity.
It's about grace changing your life.
It is. It's about grace changing your life. And that song starts out, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and John Newton, that's the story. He once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
I have a blind friend at our South Lanes campus who likes to change that last line to, I was bound, but now I'm free.
Free. That's a great way to put it, too.
I noticed, by the way, that you didn't try to sing that.
No. I'll leave the singing to Kevin.
Well, I'm not going to try to sing the next verse either, but it says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. That's a beautiful paradox. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Wow. Well, today we're starting a new series. It's a series called How Sweet the Sound. And throughout this series, we're going to be looking at songs of the Christian faith, like, you know, songs that have stood the test of time. Mm-hmm. They've been around for a long time. We're gonna look at these psalms. What do they teach us? We're gonna look at the songs and kind of get some of the backstory, like we've been getting
the
with John Newton about
behind the words.
You know, why were these songs written? And we hope that through these songs that they'll change us. That we'll get a deeper appreciation for them. We'll get, you know, deeper learning, deeper understanding. Deeper experiencing and a deeper living out of God's grace in our lives.
Bless our hearts.
Bless our hearts.
For real. Yeah.
That brings up a chat question, Tom, which is, which songs, whether they're spiritual or secular, have stood the test of time for you? You know, which songs are you still listening to decades or years later after you first heard them? Let's discuss that.
So, Mark, today we're going to talk about Amazing Grace, and you can't preach about a topic that you feel more inadequate to cover than this idea of how amazing God's grace is.
Yes, I completely agree. I feel totally inadequate to cover this topic today. That's where we said it's a big, huge, complex topic to cover. So for some help, we're going to turn to Ephesians 2 today, to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And our topic today is big and complicated, but we're going to try to simplify it a little bit. And we're going to say a simple gospel or simple good news for today. And it's three phrases.
So bless our hearts.
Bless our hearts. We're going to try to keep it simple. That's what we need, right? Other people probably
simple
do too.
Simple on top of the complexity.
Yes. So the simple gospel is this. You were but God by grace.
You were but God by grace.
Yes. So you were one thing. But God, in a God moment or a God experience, by grace, something else. Let's say that together.
You were but God by grace.
Say it at home. You were but God by grace. So Paul makes all kinds of grammatical errors in this letter to the Ephesians. He just writes rambling sentences. He cuts it off like his grammar teacher would not past this paper.
Definitely not.
Because he's overwhelmed with the joy of God's grace in this. And he writes in Ephesians 2:1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead. You were.
Yeah, so then he continues in verse 3 and he says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were, there it is again, that we were, by nature, deserving of wrath.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
So I've got a question for everybody who's out there watching. How many of you have lied? How many of you have stolen? how many of you have lusted? All right, we actually have a survey for you to take. So follow this link on the screen here, sycamorecreekchurch.org/survey, and take this quick little, it's just one question. Whether you've ever lied, whether you've ever stolen, whether you've ever lusted. Here we go. Well, Mark, survey says, you're a lying, thieving adulterer.
Okay.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. That's definitely me too. So sometimes my job as a pastor is to encourage you.
And sometimes my job as a pastor is to remind you that
you're messed up.
Really messed up.
Really messed up.
Bless your heart.
Yes.
You're despicable, you're wicked, and you're vile.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh my goodness.
Bless my heart.
Bless your heart, Tom.
Now I know I can hear it like already. Like people are commenting in the comment section, or they're saying in their head, listen, I'm not that bad. I've never run for political office. I've not ever like murdered anybody or stolen from a bank. I'm not a member of the KKK. I've not owned any slaves. Come on, Tom, I'm not that bad.
And if you say those things, eventually it's some variation, right, of a theme. I'm basically a good person.
A good person.
Is what we say. Or some variation. You're not really ready for the amazing grace of Jesus. Jesus didn't come to save semi-sinners, partial sinners, not so bad sinners. Jesus came to save the spiritually dead, the unjust, the unloving, the wretched, the wicked people, and to transform us. Bless our hearts. You see, we are in desperate need of God's grace, desperate need of God's grace. You were a sinner, but God.
Some of the folks who are watching and listening today, they need a but God moment. They are searching and confused, but God will find them and lead them through that path.
Yes. There are some people who right now who are watching this and, well, they're hurting and they're empty. But God can fill the void of with the Spirit. And there are some people who are addicted, some people who just, they can't stop doing something that they don't want to do. They're in bondage, and God can set them free today. You were but God.
So let's remember that Paul's the first missionary of the church. He's the author of many of the books of the Bible. He's the one writing this letter.
Yeah.
And Paul didn't just curse like a sailor. Paul killed Christians. He was basically like a racist, religious, domestic terrorist. That's what we would call him today.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. So we encounter Paul first in the Bible with the killing of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen. And that's not Stephen getting high. That's people literally throwing rocks at him until he dies. And Paul stands on the side and watches this happen. He's kind of the authority figure in the moment, holding everybody's coats so they don't get dirty while they do the dirty work of killing Stephen.
Wow.
He is determined to rid the world of Christians. He's determined to get rid of anybody who is a follower of the way of Jesus.
Yeah. See, imagine Paul, imagine his story. One day he's on his way to Damascus and he's on his way there to see the high priest. And he's breathing murderous threats. I mean, he wants to rid the world of Christians, of followers of the way, followers of Jesus, does not like them, is going to get rid of them. And well, but God, on the way there, but God blinds him. And he's blinded with this light that comes down from heaven. And a voice from heaven says to him, and his name at the time is Saul, 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 why do you persecute me?
Now, Paul knew who it was Jesus. And Jesus tells him that he needs to go to this guy, Ananias. Now, Ananias was a really devout Jewish Christian, which is interesting. It's, you know, Jesus sends Paul to somebody who he can relate to, a devout Jewish Christian. And when he shows up at Ananias' house, He once was blind, but Ananias lays hands on him, and the Bible says that like something like scales fall from his eyes, and now he can see. Once was blind, but now I see. And he goes into a period of a sort of intense discipleship, goes off into the desert for several years, kind of has to rethink everything about how he understood the Bible, realizes he wasn't reading it correctly.
Whoa.
By the way, a lot of people don't read their Bible correctly.
Yes, I was going to say, I can relate to that.
And has to figure out then how to live life differently, how to follow Jesus' way, which he was persecuting to begin with.
Yeah.
Paul ends up discovering his true identity, that he is chosen by God, and he's baptized by Ananias, and he becomes then the great missionary, the great evangelist for that which he was trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
Paul was dead. He was the worst of the worst. He was the most brutal of sinners.
Yeah.
But God. But God. And that's exactly how he describes it in Ephesians 2:4. He says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead." You were but God.
But God.
And now by grace.
By grace. By grace, this gets me excited, because by grace, this is the good stuff.
The good stuff.
This is the life-changing, tell your Jesus story kind of stuff.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy. We finally made it there, right?
Yeah.
We've made our way through all the bad stuff. We're to the good stuff. By grace.
Bless our hearts.
Yes. So Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 2, and he says, "For it is by grace. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You were but God by grace." Mm. And I love by grace stories. There's several by grace stories throughout the New Testament. It's full of them. The Bible has so many by grace stories where someone was something and then by grace they're changed. And I think of one story where Jesus, he comes upon this woman who had been caught in adultery. And the religious leaders are trying to entrap Jesus. They basically say to Jesus, you know, "Should we stone this woman?" And Jesus gets down on the ground and he starts to write on the ground. We don't know what he wrote, but
it's the only example of him writing.
As he writes on the ground, everyone leaves one by one. Mm-hmm. And Jesus gets down next to this woman, and you can imagine she's ashamed, she's embarrassed, she's tear-stained, and
she's been set up.
Yeah, she's been set up. She's been a pawn in this power game that the religious leaders are playing. And Jesus says to her, "Where did everyone go?" And she says, "They're gone." And he says, "Get up. Go on your way. You are forgiven. Go and sin no more." Hmm. You were but God by grace.
Another classic by grace story is the story of the father with two sons. And one of those sons comes to the father and says, "Dad, I'd like my portion of the inheritance." And the dad gives it to him. And he goes off and he squanders it. And then eventually he doesn't have any money left after living a wild lifestyle. He sells himself to become a servant or a slave. He's actually like in a pig pen, which if you know anything about
Jewish faith
and kosher and everything. I mean,
this is
the bottom of the bottom. And he looks at the things that are being fed to the pigs, and he's so hungry that he wants to eat it. But he remembers his dad, and he says, "You know what, if I go back and I become a servant to my dad, a slave to my dad, I'll at least eat as well as the slaves of my father." And so he goes back to his dad. Now, when he gets to where his dad is at, his dad is actually waiting for him, is watching for him. And when his dad sees him from far away, he runs to him and he embraces him. And he tells the servants, "Go get a ring and put a new robe on him, and let's throw a party for him, because my son who was once lost, I once was lost, is now found."
Is now found. You were.
You were, but God by grace.
Yeah.
Paul says, again, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now, this is interesting. It's by grace through faith. And if you think about this, if you look at like the way that the word faith is used in the original language, the faith that is really important is the faith of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus. Hmm. Our faith is always in Jesus' faithfulness, who even when we are unfaithful, he's the one who's faithful. Even though, you know, he had the riches of heaven, he gave that all up in his faithfulness to the mission of grace to come and into this stinky dead world and give us a but God moment so that we could experience what true faithfulness was, that grace could change us.
That's so encouraging.
You were but God by grace.
Yeah. That brings up another question for us to discuss. What's a favorite but God Bible story where someone was changed by God's grace? They were but God by grace. Let's discuss that. We all need, Tom, these but God moments. I think that's why they're so meaningful throughout Scripture, because we can relate to that. We need it. You know, we betrayed someone we've loved. Who of us hasn't done that in some way? We're not the dad or the mom that we should have been. I mean, happy Mother's Day, but not all moms are perfect, right? We're ashamed of our past, whether that's something that we did in our past or something that was done to us. And some of us, we look in the mirror today and we might not like the person that we've become. Mm. So by grace, this is so important. This is all not because of our goodness. It's because of Christ's goodness. Now, there's a temptation when we talk about this, right? When amazing grace and Jesus died for your sins, to just zone it out, right? Like blah, 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 blah. We've heard this in church before.
Bless their hearts.
Exactly. Don't zone out. I mean, this is amazing grace. This is the heart of the Christian story, that Jesus did die for our sins, that God has such a tremendous love for us. And we need this. Hmm. We need this today. We need this amazing grace that John Newton wrote about hundreds of years ago. Today, right now.
So who did Jesus come for? Not the righteous, but the sinners.
Yes.
Not those who are healthy, but those who are sick. This is the way Luke puts it in his story of Jesus' life. Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners, bless their hearts, and need to repent.
Yes, bless their hearts.
Not semi-sinners.
No.
Wretched, pitiful sinners. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bless your heart. For the wages of sin is death, Paul says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because in Jesus, the tomb is empty, he's conquered death, he's raised, and in him, we can be raised too. You were but God by grace.
That's such good news, and there's the good news throughout that whole hymn. Yeah. Amazing grace. And the next verse that we get to, it says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. That's all of our story. Mm-hmm. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Mm. I love the hopefulness of that verse. And
the last verse, though, is my favorite.
Yeah. It's so hopeful. I mean, this is the hope of the good news.
It starts out like negative, right? But then by the end of the sermon, you're pointed to heaven.
Yes. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Yeah. You were but God by grace. Yeah. Here's our final question for discussion. Which word, phrase, or line of amazing grace is most meaningful to you right now? Let's talk about that.
We should try to sing at least, just for humor's sake.
Just for Randy, so he can enjoy it?
Yeah, with the skateboard in the background.
Okay.
That's like the rhythm section right now.
Yes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
That wasn't too bad.
No, we're decent.
It's a lot better when there's a guitar and there's people who can actually sing.
Yes.
All right. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.